Hi, I'm Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations, which is aired on the third Wednesday of each month from 2 until 3 p.m. on WGXE Acre 90.7 FM.
On each show, invited guests will be asked to discuss a number of items that they intend taking with them on their Catskill Cabin getaway. As we discuss their chosen items, it is hoped that you, the listener, will enjoy getting to know that person a little bit better.
Today's guest is Alana Medlock. Alana was born in New Haven, Connecticut, and raised in Chicago, Illinois. She studied English at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia and later received an MFA in acting from the theater program at Columbia University in New York. She began acting in community theater and local Chicago television as a child and has been performing as an actor and sometimes singer off and on for most of her adult life. Among other adventures in her varied career, Alana has also worked in educational publishing, the tech world, and has been a freelance bookkeeper and copy editor. More recently, Alana began studying audio editing and radio production and moved up to the Hudson Valley in 2011 after many visits to the area over the years. Alana loves hiking, exploring, and checking out music and art shows. She lives in Saugerties with her partner Jeff, and for the last 6 months, has been the Community Programming Coordinator at WGXE. Alana, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, have you been a child TV star?
Star would be a big stretch. I was a kid on a TV show for
which
a couple
show?
Of years.
Which show?
It was called Beyond the Magic Door.
Can we see this on YouTube?
You know, it's really hard to find. I've Googled it. And there's maybe one clip you can find.
Behind the Magic Door.
Beyond the Magic Door.
Beyond the Magic Door.
It's a children's educational show from Chicago. There was another show called The Magic Door that was apparently more popular and ran for a long time before this one. But
which part did you play?
Alana. That was my character's name.
So how did they come up with that name? I'm curious.
Is it method acting?
Yeah. Well, the kids on the show were all, they used our real names. And so we kind of just ran around and pretended to be kids in this town, and we sang songs and talked to puppets and things like that.
Cool.
It was pretty fun.
So, educational publishing. Could you tell us a bit about that? You've done a bit of that?
Sure. I worked for a couple different textbook publishers. They were actually called packaging companies, which means that they weren't the companies that originally created the books, but they were, they produced ancillary workbooks and things like that. So a big publisher like McGraw-Hill, for example, would produce a big textbook that they were selling to many, many states, and then they would produce these little workbooks along with it and would outsource that to a company like the two that I worked for.
Right, right.
And so I did, mostly I proofread, I did production proofreading, but I also did some copy editing and some coordination as well.
Did you learn anything particularly interesting while you were proofreading and editing and things? Reading through and like, oh, I didn't know that about Christopher Columbus Nito.
Sometimes, you know, you sort of realize how much you've forgotten from middle school.
Yeah.
<You know? laughs> we did a lot of like social studies and middle school stuff. And it was like, oh, I don't remember any of this.
Yeah.
But no, I was actually sort of shocked to discover some of the restrictions that different states in the U.S. have about what's allowed in textbooks.
Mm.
And what I learned was that the bigger the state and the more books they bought, like Texas, for instance, the bigger influence they had on the textbook editorial side, which was kind of amazing and also distressing at times that like they would say, oh, we don't allow these words or, you know.
Oh, brother.
So there was, it was interesting to learn about that.
That is kind of disconcerting, isn't it?
I thought so at the time.
I bet they wouldn't use that word in their book.
I don't know if you're allowed to be disconcerted.
We would rather that not appear in the textbook so as not to confuse the children.
Propaganda, that's not a word we want to use.
Yes. I swear, I'm not making this up. There was a theater text or like drama text or something, and you couldn't use the word imagine because that suggested maybe something...
hallucinogenic or something?
Something or... I don't dirty. I honestly don't know why that word was not allowed, but it didn't make any sense at all.
I know that in times of, if there's like times of war or times of tragedy or, you know, if there's maybe been a terrorist threat or a terrorist activity or something, radio stations are told that they can't play certain songs or discuss certain things, you know, because it may be oversensitive or alarmist or something, so they don't allow certain things to be played, certain types of music and stuff like
that. We haven't really done that on WGXC, though. I don't know. There might be some things that we would decide, oh, no, we can't. I don't know. We try not to.
Yeah.
We try to get it right.
Limit that, but, you know.
Don't play Catskill Cabin Conversations. It's too enjoyable.
It might it might incite people to frenzy or something.
Yeah. Now, you moved to the Hudson Valley in 2011 after many visits to the area. So what in particular drew you to this area?
Well, I have a good friend who's had a place in Pine Hill. I don't know if you know that town.
I've heard of it,
the Catskills.
Yeah. Pine Hill.
Kind of near Margaretville and Phoenicia.
Right, yeah.
And she's had a place there for quite a few years. And I knew her from the city, and she would invite me and other friends up on a regular basis to just spend a weekend. And I was blown away after having lived in New York City for a long time. And the first number of years that I lived there, I never really left the city. I didn't really understand that what was in upstate New York and how incredible it was. You know, if I was traveling, I went somewhere else, and just the nature and hiking and a certain kind of peace that I felt every time I came up here, you know.
I always remember going into Mike's classroom, and right behind him was the view of that he had from his room window was the mountain, you know. And I think sometimes, but no Mike necessarily, but, you know, sometimes if we live somewhere, we get used to it, you know, and we sometimes take things for granted. But when when you go away and come back, you realize this is such a majestic place, you know. It's fantastic. It's
do
a
you
beautiful
feel,
place.
I'm sorry, do you grow up here?
I did not. I am originally from Batavia, New York, out between Buffalo and Rochester.
Oh, okay.
So being around mountains and hills is new and awesome. I really enjoy it. And I was actually just traveling with family down in the Carolinas and Virginia, and those are beautiful states. And, you know, there's Shenandoah Park and mountains, but something about New York, and we've talked about that with guests before, something about the Hudson Valley and in New York State, it's beautiful. And it's, I was thinking we should come up with there's the I Love New York campaign. It should be Keep Cool in New York, because gosh, you go to any other state in the South in the summertime and it's like sweltering day. And it's been hot here too.
Yeah.
This summer, really, really hot summer, but at least you get a reprieve at night where it'll get down into the 60s.
Yeah. It's not like, I guess, Arizona or something where it's just...
Oh, forget it.
Still 100, like 10
p.m. Yeah.
We keep trying to fill the pool, but it keeps evaporating.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was back in Scotland for a couple of weeks visiting family, and it probably one day it reached the steamy heights of 70 degrees.
Oh, my gosh. How did you manage?
And it was, like, raining every day. And I was like... You guys don't know what it's like in the other side.
So are people happy mostly in that weather? Or
no.
They want it to be warm, yeah.
They're like every day. And you know what the funny thing is in Scotland? Every day it rained, but every day they're surprised that it's raining, you know.
Oh, raining again.
It's like, it's raining.
I was wondering about that in like Portland and Seattle, are people like that, or do they just embrace it and they're like, I love it.
You know, they wake up every day and they look at it and go, oh, no, it's raining. And it's like,
it's just an excuse to be pissed off.
I could see the point if it was like sunny, you go, wow, it's sunny.
Yeah,
but no. So shall we go into our first song, Michael?
Indeed. Our first song is Can't Get It right now. I think we've been getting it right.
Absolutely.
Nice. That's by the New York Howl. Tell us about that, Alana.
Well, I saw them. I don't even know if they're still effectively a band, but I saw them maybe about 10 years ago or less at the Bowery Poetry Club down in the city in the East Village. And they just blew me away. They're just like this raucous, really lively band that sounded great. And the lead singer was like a young Mick Jagger. He was just, he almost looked like he could have been his offspring and was really like boisterous, and I just loved that song.
It's funny you said all the things that you said there. Now, can I read this paragraph? Just I found it quite interesting as a summation of the band. I'll just read it. It says, a farm boy drummer whose old man was a musical collaborator and the first ever composer in residence at the New York Philharmonic, an ex-Subway busker who plays organ for Sunday service at a Baptist church in some place in New York.
Bedford Stuyvesant,
is that an abbreviated version?
Yeah.
A saxophonist with a penchant for Cuban spy film music and Rashan Roland Kirk, and a larger-than-life frontman in the blue veins of Jagger or Morrison, who starred last year as a Lithuanian basketball player in a Fox sitcom pilot.
Oh, man. I wonder if it got... I guess it didn't get made if it was just the pilot.
But, you know, it's like you've got all these people coming together, and that's one of the things it said, that the very high-energy kind of Detroit, Memphis soul, morphine burlesque, carnival waltzes, rock and blues music. Does that kind of sum up?
Yeah, I think so. That's very nice.
I'll be honest with you, I'd never heard of them before. But it must have been a fantastic show.
Yeah, it was.
And is this your favourite song of theirs?
I don't know that many of their songs, but this song has always stuck with me. It's one of my favourites.
Let's hear it.
If we can get it right now, can we ever get it? How can we ever get it if we can't get it right now? If we can get it right now, can we ever get it? How can we ever get it if we can't get it right now? Well, if we can't get it right now, I can find my mind. Someone picked him up when he got left behind. I'd have it found if I was who that found. Can we not get it right now? But if we can't get it right now, can we ever get it? How can we ever get it? But if we can't get it right now, well, I just last night that we were all alright. There was not a reason to scream and fight. I woke up then, it was the same again. But can we not get it right now? Well, if we can get it right now, but can we ever forget it? How can we ever get it? Lord, if we can get it right now.
That was Can't Get It Right Now by the New York Howl. I enjoyed that.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Very good.
Toe-tappingly enjoyable. Mm-hmm. I was just saying, at the beginning of the song, it sounded a little bit like Mickey by Tony Basil. But as the song went on, I thought there was a little element of kind of punk rock in there as well. Mm-hmm. Kind of the Clash type.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, almost like it was enjoyably raucous, you know. So good choice. I enjoyed that.
Thanks.
Now your next item, Alana, is it a muumuu
from Mexico?
Yeah, well, because yes. The information I have on a muumuu is that it was originally from Hawaii.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes. Did you know that? Did
you yes. know? Yeah, I don't know if the thing that I have is technically a muumuu, but it I think of it as a muumuu. Hmm.
So can you explain to the audience, the listeners, what a muumuu is?
A muumuu is, I guess, originally a Polynesian outfit, but it's kind of just a big old cotton or rayon kind of shirt dress that's very baggy. Mm. I associate it with the 70s and kind of like ladies hanging around in their muumuus, you know, often with a print, like a brightly colored print on it.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like loungewear.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's one of those things that you could just maybe just hang out and, you know, you come home from work and you throw in your muumuu, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
You just, I'm not doing it in the night. I'm just going to relax and just throw in my muumuu.
Yeah. I think it's sort of like the, I associate it with a kind of like decadence of like, you know, oh, you don't have to go anywhere, do anything. You could just lounge around in your muumuu.
Muumuu out.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if George Costanza would have ever gotten a velvet muumuu.
Oh, wow.
A velvet muumuu?
Yeah. He, in that one episode, wore the velvet sweatsuit. Just because he had, you know, kind of given up. And well, there was one, I think, where he had given up, and another where his girlfriend was okay with it. So he wore one. I can't remember. But
it was funny you should say that. In a TV program, there was someone who wore a muumuu. Mm. In the Simpsons episode, King Size Homer, after gaining 61 pounds in order to claim disability and work from home, Homer wears a muumuu.
Oh.
As his regular clothes no longer fit him.
I remember that episode. It was great.
Homer lets himself go.
We're going to talk about kind of radio and animation comics and stuff later on. So I thought this was quite interesting. That in an animated US sitcom, Drawn Together, Toot Bernstein wore a muumuu in the episode Toot Goes Bollywood. So there you go.
Uh-huh.
And John Fisher, drummer of rock band Fish, is known for wearing a blue and red muumuu during live performances. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
So there you are.
Nice.
I've never seen Fish perform.
In the movie Snakes in a Plane, Mrs. Bova, portrayed by actress Anne Warm-Pegg, wears a blue muumuu. Later, a snake is seen going up through her muumuu.
Oh, dear. I enjoyed that. Have you seen that movie?
I've never seen it.
Oh. I saw it in the theaters back when I was in college.
Yep. Yes, I enjoyed it.
Nothing to take too seriously.
It's kind of just that one line, you know, is really the whole point of the movie. Like,
there's
once you see the famous...
damn snakes.
Yeah. Yeah. So once you have seen that, sort of the whole thing.
I've never seen it. Never seen it. Don't talk to me about planes.
You don't like to fly?
No, I years and years ago, I had a bad flight, severe turbulence for 3 hours. And, you know, you get that reassuring, you know, tone from the pilot, you know, as Captain Smythe, that's okay, you know, everything will be fine. It wasn't like that. It was everybody sit down, including the staff, we need to ride this out, you know. And it was like, and he said, we're getting hit by 175 mile an hour winds from the back. And the only consolation will be that we will arrive in London half an hour early.
Oh, well, that's nice.
So when you hear that and there's people crying around you, it doesn't really help. Anyway.
But you get to use noise-canceling headphones, and they usually make the ride a lot more peaceful and enjoyable for you, like when you're watching certain programs. And
well, that, yes, no. I mean, I was watching a program on us. Mike had given me his noise-canceling headphones.
Okay.
And I put them on, and I was watching an episode of Breaking Bad on the plane, and I fell asleep because I'd had a couple of glasses of wine.
Uh-huh.
And I woke up to an explosion in the program. And I was like,
You thought it was reality in that moment.
Just this past weekend.
Momentary.
Coming home, I was watching Spectre, the James Bond movie, and in the film, there's a helicopter that crashes, spins out on the ground and everything, and it was timed just perfectly that as we were landing, I was watching the part where the helicopter was crashing into the ground. My wife looks over and sees it, and I was just kind of looked at each other and smiled like, oh, well, that's coincidence.
Well, talking about landing, when I come back from Scotland about 6-7 weeks ago, maybe not even that, I was flying into JFK and just about to land. And, you know, that way, that's so close that you can see the tiles in the top of roofs and houses and stuff.
Yeah.
Just coming out to land, anticipating it, and all of a sudden the plane took off again.
What?
Exactly.
That's never happened to me.
And that, exactly. That's the two things that it said whilst my heart was racing at 150 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, especially in this day and age, I was bricking it.
Yeah.
And the pilot came on and said, sorry about that. A bit of miscommunication in the flight control. And we'll just go around and come back down again.
And everything was okay.
At least they never said, please brace.
Yeah. I always think of the people who had to land in the was it the East River? No, the Hudson River.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Remember the pilot who expertly brought the plane and landed it? I just can't even imagine what that must have been like for all the people in that plane.
Well, that movie is just about to come out.
Oh, yeah?
Tom Hanks is playing the part of the...
Oh, cool.
Now, can you imagine sitting watching that take off from or coming into New York or something, you know?
Yeah, you think they'll play that on New York flights.
Well, see, the thing is, people can play it on their laptops now.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm sure somebody's going to be watching it.
Oh, yeah.
And thinking, you know? But, yeah. So, how many moo-moos do you have?
I think just one. Just one.
What
I
color is it?
Two,
is it a velvet moo-moo?
It's cotton. It's
cotton.
Purple with flowers on it.
Right, cool.
And I love it.
Mm.
Do you wear it to work?
No.
No.
Never have.
It's your day off outfit.
Exactly.
So your next song, Alana, is going to be Sly and the Family Stone, Everyday People. What does this song mean to you?
Well, I was thinking about, first of all, it's a torturous assignment to pick four songs, you know, because it's like then you think of every different thing that you like and how can I possibly choose? And I pictured myself. Are you alone in the cabin, by
yes.
the way?
Yep. It's just you.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, usually.
Well, that depends, Mike. You know, who and what day is going to be outside with a hatchet and a ski mask on?
Yeah.
Good grief, man.
Or a large bear. Yeah. Or a mountain lion.
Pardon me. Have any honey in here?
Could I borrow some sugar, please?
Yeah. Or just a large spider, even. I don't know. But I don't know, I was thinking about when I'm by myself or in a very beautiful, peaceful place, there's always this sort of combination of wanting to be very mellow and then suddenly wanting to just dance around and be rowdy.
Moo-moo.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, at midnight or something after a whiskey or two, you know, being like, okay, it's time to dance. And,
that would be assuming that we stock the cabin with whiskey.
Yeah. It depends on if there's whiskey in the cabin. But the dancing would probably happen even if there were no whiskey.
Right, right.
But so sometimes you just need to dance to a really great song. And I love that song's such a classic, but it's so joyful and makes me feel good about humanity.
Sly and the Family Stone performed at Woodstock. Talk about humanity feeling good.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. August 17th, 1969, which the anniversary is coming up.
Yeah.
Have you guys been to Bethel Woods, the Woodstock Museum?
I've been to the see a concert there once, but not the museum.
Yeah, it's pretty great. If you get a chance, it's a little bit of a drive from here. Closer from maybe Poughkeepsie or a little bit downstate. But
heading up towards Monticello and stuff like that. Yeah, I've not been there, though.
Their work, Sly and the Family Stone, they inspired Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5.
Wow.
And also inspired the name of the TV show, Different Strokes. You hear the line in there.
That's right. Different I kind of was raised on that show. You know, that was my era as a kid, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That show, but I never put it together that line. I mean, the title was from that song. It's so dumb.
Thank you.
that was Sly and the Family Stone, Everyday People. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acre 90.7 FM. In the show, we have Alana Medlock, who is the Community Programming Coordinator for WGXC. Great choice there, Alana.
Thank you.
I could hear that cowbell in the background there. I kept on thinking, what'd you call him?
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
Oh, my God. You remember the No More Cowbell?
Yeah.
That's an SNL thing. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
So good. I could watch that every day.
Yeah, that just makes me laugh. Now, your next item that you're going to take with you is your dirty hiking shoes.
Yes. This is sort of a lame choice because I don't have a really good story about it.
Do you know of any clean hiking shoes?
Clean. My hiking shoes are crusted in mud and I just haven't rinsed them off.
Well, that just shows you that you use them then, doesn't it?
Broken
yeah.
In.
I just thought, what would I take with me? And that is definitely something, like the first thing that popped into my head that I would bring.
Hmm. I'm just picturing you standing there dancing to Sly and the Family Stone with a moo moo on. And dirty hiking shoes.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know, though. I think I would have to take them off outside the cabin. I don't know if they'd be allowed in the cabin.
That's good. We wouldn't want to have to clean it up either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a real cabin?
Of course there's a real cabin.
Is there a boogeyman in the cabin?
We can't tell you that.
Okay.
Surprise.
If you look in our website, you'll see the cabin.
You send your guests to the real cabin.
And if you look in the woods, you'll see the face of a little boy that wasn't there when we took the photograph. Now, Mike, you said something about breaking in hiking shoes.
Yes.
Mm.
Is that essential?
It is. Well, people get in really horrible blisters when they try to go hiking for an extended a long distance without having broken in their hiking boots.
So I know it sounds like something that may be obvious, but would you maybe break them in a particular way?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways that people have done it. I've read that some people will put them on and run on a treadmill for a half hour for days and days. Some people will wear them around town. Some of those things are frowned upon because wearing your hiking boots on pavement or the sidewalk and prematurely wear down the soles, I think. Mm. So the best thing to do really to break in a hiking boot is to just go on short to moderate hikes, and get 20, 30 miles on them. And then they'll be nice and soft and form to your feet and comfy like squishy clouds, allowing you to scramble and
like a little lamb
spring across down the trail with ease.
Now, do you put any creams on your shoes, like to protect them from water?
I do, yes. I wash mine off for the most part. Mine are actually a little bit muddy right now, probably like Lana's. But the best thing to do
is... Do you have a muumuu?
I don't have a muumuu, but I do have a Stormtrooper onesie.
What?
Yes.
I am so jealous.
Which is like my
Is there any pictorial evidence of this?
I used it during Halloween. I also got this awesome Stormtrooper helmet.
I think I've seen that picture.
From my wife's dad, yeah. And we handed out candy. I had this costume on and scared the daylights out of little kids, particularly girls. So they wouldn't even come up the driveway, come up to our house. They're like, nope.
Oh, that's so sad.
What's the matter, child?
He had all this candy and they wouldn't take it.
Mike would have loved that. Mm.
Oh,
But anyway, so yeah, with hiking boots, you want to wash them off, and you can get a number of treatments that are usually oils, and you kind of soak them in, press them in. I have a Nubuck leather boots, so you can get a special treatment for that, and you just squirt it on all over there, work it in, and let it sit for a minute, and then wipe it off, and it keeps the leather healthy and also helps to re-waterproof them.
Yeah, there's a stuff in Britain you used to use called dubbin.
Mm.
It's like it was a kind of oily kind of cream you would rub into the boot, you know, and you'd do it for like soccer cleats and stuff like that, you
sure.
know? And it would keep them, as you say, Mike, soft and, you know, help. So there's nothing wrong, there's nothing worse than shoes or boots that get really wet and then you try to put them back on and they're really hard,
yeah,
you know?
Oh, it's a bad feeling. So,
A lot of people I've seen on the Appalachian Trail will just wear running sneakers. You'd think, oh, geez, you're doing the Appalachian Trail, 2,100 miles or whatever. You're going to want the best hiking boots, and they just go light and easy. And hiking boots, although they're usually waterproof initially, once they get kind of soaked through, then they lose that water resilience.
That resistance.
And then they're wet, and then they're always wet. Whereas a running shoe will get wet, but it'll dry pretty quickly.
Mm, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And be comfortable.
Interesting. I feel like my shoes did kind of hurt my feet when I started.
Yeah.
You know, I got, they wasn't cramping, but it was sort of uncomfortable. And then they just, because I wasn't doing anything hardcore, I probably did what you recommended, which is just some short hikes.
Yeah,
some walks
ease into
and,
it.
Yeah.
I remember my friend George came over to visit me, and we went to New York, and we must have walked for about 9 miles. Or across the, you know, through the streets of New York, and I had blisters all over my feet, and because it was hot, and it, you know, you're wearing sneakers and whatever. And the next morning, he left to go to the airport, and I got up, and my intention was to, you know, go walk about in the city, and my feet were in agony. I ended up just sitting in a coffee house because, you know, and I made the mistake of saying, right, I'm going to burst some of these.
Oh, no.
Oh,
and
no.
All it did was make them sting.
Yep.
And,
oh,
you know,
no.
There was no, it was a new level of pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can get infection.
So I was walking as if I needed the toilet. But, very bad.
Alana, do you use wool socks?
No, I don't like wool. My skin's pretty sensitive, and so I avoid it because I find it scratchy.
Do you use cotton socks?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I use these like sock liners and then wool socks, and that works pretty well. Helps to reduce blisters.
Do you like using wool for hiking for any particular reason?
Yes. The socks are thicker and help to kind of regulate your temperature, keep your feet warm if it's cold out and cool if it's warm out. And wool shirts are excellent in that they'll also moderate your temperature, and they don't get funky like synthetics do.
Mm.
I have some synthetic shirts that just need to be thrown out. They're useless
because you can't get rid of that funk.
After, you know, they're fine when I put them on, but once I start moving and get hot, then it's like, oh man, come on.
I think that situation has happened to the sandals that I'm wearing right now. I hope that you guys can't tell, but
oh no, we're in the closed off studio.
Yeah, but it's really upsetting because I don't, you know, periodically I pour powder on it, but it's just, I feel like I'm going to have to just throw them away.
I'm glad you said that there because I was wondering what that smell was.
No. No, it's garbage.
Now, a potentially stupid question, Mike.
Mm.
Do you wear woolly underwear when you're hiking?
I do not. And that's a good question. I have like polyester stuff that prevents
chaffage.
Chaffage. But somehow underwear doesn't seem to get funkified.
No,
I don't. Maybe it's just because it's the material's different than the shirts I have. I don't know.
I went hiking with Mike once, right, and we're walking for a good few hours, and the chaffage level was high, and Mike was washing at the water, and he was using this spearmint soap, right? And I said, Mike, can I borrow? It's a liquid soap. Can I borrow your soap? He says, sure, and all you could hear from the dark was me going, because spearmint and chaffage don't blend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear. Just never again.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Except that.
Oh.
That just makes
you
sing soprano.
Do you do winter hiking? I'm just curious.
So, once in a while, I prefer not to. I'll go on a hike, definitely, but not like backpacking, staying in a tent,
mm-hmm.
too cold.
But you'll do ice and cleats and all that stuff?
Yeah, we have, I don't have cleats, but we have, for crying out loud, snowshoes.
Oh, cool.
So last year we didn't get to use them at all, but I'm looking forward to this year. And cross-country skiing, I love to do that.
Mm.
But I like to keep it safe, nothing too mountainous. And, you know, camping is hard during the summertime when you can get up and go to the bathroom anywhere and the temperature won't kill you. But in the wintertime, it just seems like so much work.
I climbed a mountain in Scotland with an ex-colleague of mine, and we couldn't get to the top because it was covered in ice. But in the way, it was really, you know, treacherous going up at some places, and it was hard going, you know. But in the way back down, we decided to go back down early, and we just sat in the snow for most of it and just slid all the way down like little
nice.
Kids. It was
amazing.
Really, really cool.
That sounds fun.
Okay, next item, Mike. You want to bring us in?
Ode number two by Bonnie Prince Billy, whose real name is William Oldham. And he attended Brown and pursued a career in music and film. He's been called an Appalachian post-punk solipsist.
Whoa. Which I'm not sure I know what that solipsist, what that word means.
You know, I just learned it recently, like over the weekend reading, and forgot and had to look it up again. And it's a term for somebody that you basically, the only thing that you can be certain of is you. Like, I think, therefore I am.
Uh-huh.
It's a kind of like
philosophy. Descartes.
Yeah. Oui. He sang backup to Johnny Cash.
Ooh.
And, I didn't know that.
And has been in some films. So why this song?
He's the best. I actually just saw him at the Half Moon. He just came to Hudson.
Really?
Oh. And yeah, did a little show one night. And I've seen him, I think, either once or twice before. But I think he's, I don't know, I think he's incredible. But the reason I picked this particular song is I was thinking about being alone in the cabin and in nature and sort of a state of reflection that I crave and enjoy about being in, you know, in a secluded place or very peaceful place. And I just think that this is the song is sort of, I don't know, it evokes some kind of contemplation.
Was Bonnie Prince Billy, Ode Number Two. That was very relaxing and a well-chosen song, Alana.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed that.
I feel relaxed.
I could just vision myself sitting in a nice easy chair, eating fresh berries, listening to that song. And it just so happens fresh berries is your next item.
Yes, it's true. This is yet another item that it doesn't have a good story attached to it, but it's I love berries, and there's a lot of great local farm stands and local farmers around here. Though I guess you can't actually can you grow berries in this region?
Oh yeah. Tons and tons, blueberries, raspberries, strawberries. A colleague of mine has this expansive garden, and will regularly bring in strawberries at the end of the school year, and they are far more flavorful and complex and enjoyable than anything that you could get at a store. Mm. Although they are also much smaller.
My girlfriend has berries growing in her garden.
Mm.
Blackberries. I don't know if blueberries, but they're very, very hard to kill. The plant, they keep coming back and keep growing. Yeah. It's great. But you can also get like wild strawberries at the side of the road.
Yeah, I've seen raspberries, actually, I realize, in the Catskills that you could just pick off, you know.
Yeah. I'm usually a little hesitant, too, because with my luck, I'd be like, oh, this is a blueberry, no problem. And it's, you know, some sort of
poison.
Yeah, look-alike.
Poisonous. Look-alike charlatan.
People stumble upon my carcass in the middle of the woods, and they're like, oh, we see what happened here.
Well, I like berries because you can put them in a smoothie or a pie. Ooh, or just eat them, or put them on your cereal, or, you know, just eat them.
Mm. So what's your favorite berry?
Oh, that's a tough one. It's probably between raspberry and blueberry. But I like all berries.
Yeah?
Almost equally.
Equally?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
An equal consumption individual.
Yeah.
My favorite berry has to be the strawberry.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know why. I just think strawberries are just fantastic.
They are the only fruit with seeds on the outside of the skin.
Strawberries?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Huh.
I think there is more vitamin C, or as they say in America, vitamin C,
mm-hmm.
In a blueberry than there is in an orange.
Is that true? In one tiny little blueberry?
I think so, yeah.
Mm.
That's good. They're very good for you. I know that.
I know that strawberries aren't very good frozen.
No, I don't care for them frozen.
No.
Also, you know what? A really bland, flavorless strawberry is more disappointing to me than a not so great blueberry.
Mm.
It's like maybe the expectations are higher because they're so beautiful, and you know, and then you. And it, but like, you know, have you had one, you know, just from a grocery store, and you get the strawberries with no flavor, and it's just, oof.
What is this?
Depressing.
Do you like the ones that are kind of yellow at the nub? You know, the kind of around the kind of base, they're kind of yellowy, greeny, kind of still a wee bit raw.
Oh, not.
Or do
not
you like
so
them
much.
Deep red?
I like them deep red.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know, I read that blueberries, which are native to North America, will not ripen once they are picked. So when you pick it, that's how it's going to be. Like, it's not like a banana, which if you let it sit, it'll
that's the same with oranges. An orange ceases to ripen as soon as it's picked.
I had some amazing oranges in Florida at my family's place years ago. Oh my gosh, picked right off the tree. They were enormous, like the size of a softball. So good. It was like drinking a cup of orange juice every time I've been into it. You know, I read that the second wife of Henry VIII, Queen Anne Boleyn, is it Boleyn?
Anne Boleyn.
Anne Boleyn, had a strawberry-shaped birthmark on her neck, which some claimed proved that she was a witch and may have led to her execution. Although then I also read that that's just a myth and there's no record of a charge of witchcraft, so it's all made up.
Mm. Huh.
But if you have a strawberry-shaped birthmark, be glad you weren't alive in the late 16th century.
Yes. Talking about marks on bodies, what do you make of these marks on the swimmer? Phelps.
Oh yeah, they're doing the suction cup thing.
Yeah,
I
these cup
notice.
Things.
I haven't looked. What does he have?
He's got all these suction cup round marks on his body.
Yeah, for the Olympics, it's. I think I heard that it's ancient Eastern medicine where they put like a cup on you and apply a suction, and it's supposed to pull the muscle and loosen it up, and it's therapeutic.
Oh, not like leeches.
What's that?
Not like leeches.
Not like leeches in that they're not drawing blood out of you, but some might argue like leeches in that it's not really doing anything. But hey, who knows? I'm not a doctor.
To me, there's a lot of therapy that can be used with cups, but most of the time with me, there's coffee in them.
Yeah, I hear you. Tea. Nice cup of tea. Yeah, Phelps. I don't know about Phelps. He's. I feel like he's kind of... when you get that, you know, that much attention and you become so adored, then there's kind of like, there's only a couple ways you can go. You can just lose your mind completely and just go over the edge.
Yeah.
Mike have struggled with that.
I bet you have.
It's hard. I have
to
ground Andy regularly.
So, I mean, you like attach him to a metal. Like,
I'm sorry, Andy, it's for your own good. You're becoming a pompous jerk.
A wooden stick. How do you ground like a, you have to put wood
how
into
do you
ground
a Scotsman? Well,
yeah, that's a really good question.
be a great title for a book.
We'll tell you after the show. It's too graphic. Talking of grounding someone, your next item is a book called Out on the Wire.
Yes.
I don't know what that... I don't even know what the connection was there. I just thought I'd try that, but it didn't work. Did it? makes the professional seamless...
Segway master.
Oh, that's your superpower?
Yes.
Yeah, sadly.
So anyway, your next item is a graphic non-fiction book by Jessica Abel.
Abel, yeah, I think.
Out on the Wire. Can you talk about that?
Sure. I picked it just because I'm reading it now. I used to be, when I was younger, be really good about reading books straight through, but now what happens is I start books and then leave them around, sitting around in piles, you know, so it's, you know, and then some I come back to and some I just feel guilty about and some I don't feel guilty about, you know, discarding. Yeah. But anyway, this is one that I've been sort of holding on to, and I got it as a gift, and it's a wonderful, really wonderful, kind of a nonfiction book about people making radio.
Could you tell us a bit about it? Because, you know, I found it kind of piqued my interest. It was kind of interesting in that it's about talk radio, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, there's the woman who created it is, I think, mostly a cartoonist and illustrator, and she went behind the scenes at some... well-known radio and podcast, you know, radio shows like This American Life and some other programs, and I think interviewed, both observed their sort of daily goings on, and also interviewed and spoke with some of the people there, and kind of wanted to capture how they actually do what they do. I mean, given that it's such a popular form right now, a particular style of combining, I'm sort of what you guys do in a sense, because combining more spontaneous conversation with more carefully crafted audio, and just, you know, it's become such a huge phenomenon, and I'm always, you know, interested to just think about how people make things, or where people get the ideas for things, or, you know, sure, how they make the aesthetic choices that they make.
Yeah.
Now, it's funny you should say that, because when reading about Out on the Wire, it talked about some of the shows, you know, that nitty gritty shows that would be talked about, and it listed some of them, called This American Life, Radiolab, Snap Judgment, Planet Money, Catskill Cabin Conversations.
Oh my God, you're in there!
Wow,
I didn't get to that chapter.
The Moth Radio Hour and Radio Diaries. So there you are. Eh? So
that's great.
Okay, I threw your name in there, but you know, you get the idea.
Yeah.
But it sounds a really intriguing, you know, investigative account of, you know, how these shows come about, what their purpose is, and you know, gives people a platform for people to actually get into them, you know, and get some behind the scenes, if you like, info on these shows.
And very, what I like about the graphic novel form is that it's also this kind of beautiful work of art that you can appreciate it, even if, you know, even if you don't like half those shows or whatever, you can sort of appreciate it as a work of art in itself too.
There is a loose connection between you and the Moo Moos and Jessica Abel. She moved to New York's Mexico City with her boyfriend in 1998, where she stayed for a few years.
I wonder if she wore
muumuus
and perhaps some dirty hiking boots,
possibly
picking some berries native to Mexico.
Is there any berries that are native to Mexico?
Maybe I don't. Is an avocado a berry?
Whilst her husband cupped.
I'm trying to think. I feel like this is mango, papaya. You
know. Yeah.
Not berries though.
Yeah.
So anyway, so she lived there. I'm wondering if she wore as Mike said, wore a muumuu.
That's cool.
Interesting. Okay, now we have one last song, Alana, and that is, can you?
I Dream a Highway by Gillian Welsh and David Rawlings.
And could you tell us about that song?
Oh, I don't know. It's one of my favorites. I first encountered Gillian Welsh around 2003, 2004. I was working on a play where we were incorporating sort of old-timey Americana music into the show, and the director encouraged us to learn some Gillian Welsh songs and some other public domain folk songs. So I ended up, the time that I fell in love with her music as a listener, I also had the opportunity to sing some of it with a trio where we did three-part harmonies and stuff.
Ooh.
And I just never ceased to be kind of devastated by her voice, and also the way their two voices are together and their guitar playing and all of it. And
what would you say the type of music, what kind of music is it?
I don't know, alt country, Americana.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's sort of, I don't know. And that song in particular, it just sort of devastates because it's so long, and it's just like this journey to, I don't know. I don't even know how to.
It takes you away.
Yeah.
It? Yeah.
Yeah.
See?
That was I Dream a Highway by Gillian Welch and David Rawlings. Just a reminder that if you enjoy listening to shows such as Scats Hill Cabin Conversations, you can go to WGXC Acre website and make a donation in order to keep community radio going. We would very much appreciate that. Now, Alana, we're coming to the end of the show, but before I go, do you know that I'm just forgetting her name, Gillian Welch, sorry, had two songs on the Oh Brother Where Art Thou album?
I do, because I have it.
You do?
It's a great album.
Yes, it is a great album.
It's a fantastic album. I didn't realize that, though, until I was doing a little bit of research. Did you know that, Mike?
I did not know that, but I do kind of recognize her voice.
Yeah. And she was it with... who was the other woman she sang with?
Oh, yeah.
Alison Krauss.
Alison Krauss, was it? Yeah. Yeah.
I love that movie, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great movie.
So great. We're in a tight spot. George Clooney. It's one of those, like, repeating jokes that's hilarious.
Should we have laughed there?
Well, if you knew the...
I was going through my brain going, what part was that? This is what happens. I just want you to know this is what happens with me and my boyfriend all the time, because he's obsessed with... He has an encyclopedic memory of films, and he remembers every character and scene, and we'll be talking about some movie that we've both seen, and he'll go, oh, this part and when they said this, and I'm just like, don't remember it at all, and he gives me all this grief, like, what were you doing sleeping during the but I just don't always retain those details.
Now, thank you for coming in.
Thank
we
you
really
for having
appreciate
me.
You coming in and telling us about your berries and Moo and playing some of your songs. We really, really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Now, before you go, we have one last question that we would like to ask you.
Okay.
And it is, Mike.
Alana, how do you take your coffee?
I don't drink coffee anymore.
Anymore.
So, okay, two things. First, when you did drink coffee, how did you take it?
Sweet and light.
Sweet and light. So, little cream, little sugar?
Yeah, milk and sugar.
And what precipitated the termination of your relationship with coffee?
Combination of stomach and skin issues, and realizing that they were exacerbated by coffee, and also like mood swing, like the high and then the crash, and realizing, oh, I'm actually like get really down after drinking, get really jazzed and then kind of crash afterwards.
So I'm curious, did you kind of like Hulk out on someone and then say, oh my gosh, what's happening here? And then you were like, coffee.
I didn't drink coffee for, I think, 2 months. I got sick with a cold. Oh, no, it was just a month. I got sick with a cold. And I was like, oh, why don't I just stop, not drink it for a month? And then
you were sitting and you were like, oh, my God, can't believe I just did that. Now, I've just eaten some berries and I've drank coffee. So one of the two caused this. And you chose coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what was weird is that I loved it so much and I don't miss it. I drink a ton of tea, so that was my sort of substitute. But
caffeinated or decaffeinated?
Caffeinated. I just embraced tea as my new addiction.
Kidding.
But it's weird how I still love the smell so much, though. I love hanging around with people who are drinking coffee.
Very comforting, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Hi, I'm Alana Medlock, and you've been listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acre 90.7 FM. Special thanks to George, Gordon, and Billy from the band White for the theme music, and to everyone at WGXC. Thanks.